All right, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God today. Good to be saved today. Hallelujah. I'm glad God changes not. I'm glad, praise God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
We don't have a busload of people here, but we're still going to sing out of the songbook. We're going to sing one song, and we're going to sing number 31. And we don't have a piano player, so we're going to sing by the letter.
Yeah.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Verse 3. There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? It will be wonderful there.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, I ain't no singer. I don't even try to be a singer. But we're talking about being instant in season, out of season. Sometimes you got to be instant in season when it comes to singing.
Yeah.
So we wanted to sing a song during the service today, and that's what we just did. We're having church today. And I know we're having church against the law. The governor has proclaimed that all churches be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that law. I believe if there ever was a time the churches ought to have their doors open, it's a time such as this when
Amen.
There's trouble on every hand.
That's right.
When people are worried about what's coming, and you know, people are wanting answers. I'm glad God has the answers. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm glad to be in the house of God today. And we're going to read another excerpt from this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity, compiled by John Myers. And we're going to read about a man called Voltaire. In 1778, there was a man, and his name was Voltaire. And here's the comment. When Voltaire felt the stroke, which he realized must terminate in death, he was overpowered with remorse. At once he sent for the priest, wanting to be reconciled to the church. His infidel flatterers hastened to his chamber to prevent his recantation, I guess. He wanted to recant. If there's such a word as recantation, that's what he wanted to do. But it was only to witness his ignominy and their own. He cursed them to their faces. And since his distress was increased by their presence, repeatedly and loudly exclaimed, "Be gone! It is you that have brought me to my present condition. Leave me! Be gone! What a wretched glory is this which you have produced for me!" Hoping to allay his anguish by a written recantation, he had it prepared and signed it and saw it witnessed. But it was unavailing. For 2 months he was tortured with such an agony as led him at times to gnash his teeth in impotent rage against God and man. At other times, in plaintive accents, he would plead, "O Christ, O Lord Jesus." Then turning his face, he would cry out, "I must die. abandoned of God and of men. And his end drew near. His condition became so frightful that his infidel associates were afraid to approach his bedside. Still, they guarded the door so that others might not see how awfully an infidel was compelled to die. Even his nurse repeatedly said that for all the wealth of Europe, she would never see another infidel die. It was a scene of horror, that lies beyond all exaggeration. Such is the well-attested end of this man who had a natural sovereignty of intellect, excellent education, great wealth, and much earthly honor. 1778. That's the last comments, the last words of infidel Voltaire. That's a sad commentary. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of men like that today.
Amen. That's right.
They won't let God be God. They're determined to be their own God.
Yes.
Our message today will take place in Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Like I said, we don't have a busload of people here. We're going to act like it, but we don't have. I'll probably amen my own preaching today. Amen. But in the little book of Jonah, God has directed us in such a way, because I actually had something else in mind. But we felt compelled, and I'll say that with great charity. We felt compelled and directed to go this direction this morning. 4 o'clock this morning, as I got up to pray and seek the Lord, I was directed to this place in Scripture. And we're going to read Jonah chapter 2. I'll just read that chapter. It's only 10 verses. I'll read the whole chapter. Our text verse is in verse number 4. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me.
Yeah.
Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice.
Amen.
For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. That means he drowned. They went in his lungs. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want to reread verse 4. It's my text verse. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I'm preaching today, I will look again. Pray with us. Father, We thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for the precious promises that are in it. That in Christ Jesus, those promises are yea and amen. Exceeding great and precious promises to us word. Lord, help us, Father, today. We be few in number, and yet, Lord, we're filled with Thy Spirit. Anoint me from on high. Lord, I pray, God, today, that, Lord, You preach to me and through me. Lord, there'll be many hear this message today by way of technology, by way of recording. And I pray, God, today, that You'd be able to feed the sheep and the lambs. That You'd be able today to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, I yield myself to You right now. Ask You to have Your way. Ask Your blessings upon all that's said here today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. I'm preaching today on I Will Look Again. When trouble comes, people start looking for help. Jonah's in trouble. This trouble Jonah's in, it's his own fault. He brought this trouble on himself.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of America. The Bible said, and this is from the Lord, this ain't from Eddie. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell.
Amen.
I look upon America as I'm reading about Jonah here. And Jonah, as he's in his own trouble,
He's
got enough sense to say, I will look again. And I tell you, we need to be careful what we're looking to in our trouble. Amen. You read the verse from the very last of Jonah chapter 3. Jonah in his rebellion. Jonah in his refusal to go to Nineveh and sought to somehow get around God and do something contrary or something other than what God told him to do. Got on a ship, heading to Tarsus, and he paid the fare thereof, and God prepared a fish, and God commanded, I'm telling you, that fish to swallow Jonah.
Amen. That's right. Yes, he did.
I don't know if you know this or not, but if you've got a Scofield Bible, if you look down there at the footnotes, Here's what it'll say. No miracle of Scripture has called forth so much unbelief.
Right.
The issue is not between the doubter and this ancient record, but between the doubter and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40, Jesus used Jonah for an example. And Jesus said, as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale.
Yes.
You see, it says a great fish.
Yes.
Up here in verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1, a great fish. And then you see out of fish's belly, Jonah's praying. And listen, Jesus told us what kind of fish that was.
Yes, he did.
And the next thing it says in his footnotes, that science says it's impossible for a man to evidently be swallowed by a whale. I'm looking at a whale shark, and all it eats is vegetation, little planklets, but I look at that thing, I forget how long they are. They look to me like it'd be big enough to swallow a man if God told it to.
Yeah, that's right.
But this fish knew what God told it to do. And at the right time, this great fish, this whale, was there waiting. These men, when they panicked like the world's doing right now,
amen,
when they didn't know what to do, they called upon their God.
Yeah.
And their God didn't help. They called upon their God. And their God didn't deliver them. I'll tell you what Jonah told them to do. He said, it's my fault you're in this trouble. He said, cast me into the sea.
Yes.
Verse 15 of Jonah chapter 1. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her ridge. You know, storms are coming all over America right now.
Yes, Lord.
I'm 66 years old and I've never seen such an epidemic of tornadoes, floods, fires, yes, famine, panic, everywhere.
Yes.
Jonah said, "Oh, look again." That tells me he had his eyes where he needed them. That tells me that he's determined to go any way but God's way. He might have been God's man, but I'll tell you what, he wasn't on board with God's plan.
No.
Here, Jonah, he is like most of the world today. He's hard-hearted, stiff-necked.
Yeah, that's right.
Full of himself. And he thinks somehow he can get out of doing what God has told him to do.
Uh-huh.
He's part of the plan of God. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, that, praise God, God gave him a second chance. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, buddy, Jonah wasn't on board with God. He was on board this ship. These men threw him over. Verse 16 says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." I left part of that out. No, I read that verse. "So he took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared," should have written all together, "then the men feared the Lord exceedingly." Mm-hmm. So here Jonah is, he's already back in the will of God.
Yeah.
Now men are turning to God. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice to the Lord, made vows. And this fish right here, trouble comes, people start looking for help.
Yes, yes.
But they're willing to pay any amount of money. They're willing to do anything, go to anybody, suffer anything for any help that they can find. I seen where some man had walked into a store and stole a bunch of coronavirus. This coronavirus is causing the problems today. And I don't know if it proceeded from God or not. It's got all the attributes of proceeding from God, because God has always used little things to bring across big things.
Yeah.
And right now, buddy, I don't know that people are doing it, but I know they need to do this. They need to seek the Lord while they may be found.
Yeah,
they need to call upon Him while He's there.
Right.
They need to get in church. Get right with God.
Yes.
This is a time, I'm telling you, to make sure you got a refuge for yourself.
Amen.
To make sure you're ready to go.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, this ain't going to go away. It's actually going to get worse.
Yes, it is.
I can't prove it, and I believe time will prove it. It's going to get worse. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse and worse unto the end. Jesus talking about the beginning of sorrows, and He talked about the distress of nations, and He talked about all the things going on. I seen this morning earthquake. I forgot where it was, but a severe earthquake, almost 6 on a Richter scale, and another one this week, another earthquake.
Yeah.
And all these things are writing on the wall to the nations of the world, and they're in distress. They wonder, is there no one that can save us?
Yes.
That's what I see about America in this.
Uh-huh.
Jonah was worried no one could save him. All his resources are gone. The ship's gone. The men are gone. Jonah's down, as far down as Jonah can go.
Mm-hmm.
But I like when he said, "I will look again." But people are offering large sums of money. They just disclosed how much money has been wasted trying to steal the presidency.
Yeah.
They think money can fix anything.
That's right.
Elizabeth Warren, it just got out that she had a private donor that donated something like $16 million to her to try to get her to be the president. Michael Bloomberg spent, I think, $6 million thrown in a towel because he's a $60 billion wealthy man. And you know one thing, some people's got gold, some people's got God, and I'm glad I've got God. They can have all the gold they want.
Amen.
I'll take God over gold any day.
Yeah.
But some, they're willing to pay any amount of money to find the help that they need. There's a woman in Mark chapter 5. He calls her a certain woman.
Mm-hmm.
She had suffered many things from many physicians, She had spent all that she had trying to get better for 12 years.
Yes.
You know what I say about that? I say thank God she didn't get better. Because when the money ran out, when the physicians were done, when they had done everything known to man and said, we can't help you.
Yeah.
I'm glad she considered another option. She had heard about Jesus. She started seeking Jesus.
Yes.
And she found out not only Jesus could heal her, she was immediately healed, but it was at no charge.
Yes.
She didn't have to worry about having no money. The Bible talks about vain is the help of man in Psalm chapter 60, verse 11. Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. No one wants trouble, but trouble will come. It will come to you, and trouble will come to me. Job said in Job chapter 3, verse 25 through 26, he's talking about I was at peace, and he said, then that thing I greatly feared came upon me. And I tell you what, you can be relaxed. You can be in good health. You can have good standing. You can have no problems going on at all. And still trouble can come.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He said, Job chapter 14, verse 1, man is born of woman's a few days, and they're full of trouble. Amen. I had an uncle. He came down with cancer. And I was praying for him and fasting for him. I just got saved. I didn't know nothing then. Don't know much more than that now. But I had fasted and prayed for my uncle so much that God put it in my heart to go visit him. And that was an eye-opener, I have to admit. I'm kind of glad I did see it firsthand. But I drove into town where my uncle lived over on Cedar Street. He's out in the front yard talking with a neighbor. And I got out of the car, walked up to both of them, and I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you. Doyle, I've been fasting for you. And I said, I believe that if you'll just bring, he had cancer, I said, if you'll just bring your case, your problems to Jesus, I said, I believe he can help you. And his neighbor said, Doyle, this young man's telling you right. And Doyle told his neighbor, and he told me, Brother Ed, he said, no, they've come out with a new pill, and I'm trusting in that new pill. He didn't live but 2 weeks from that day, and I became his pallbearer. I just want you to know, when you need help, you need to go to the right one.
Amen.
Vain is the help of man. Yeah, science offers, but science charges. And through operations and suffering, you may find out you went to the wrong one. Amen.
Amen.
Trouble has come to Jonah. It's his own fault. And now here he is. He's over his head in trouble. He's at the bottom of the sea of trouble. And now he's appealing his rebellion. Now he's calling out for mercy. And I'll tell you, beloved, when we get in trouble, we will also, amen. Be careful where you look for help when you're in trouble, amen. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, lift up now thine eyes. I'll tell you what. Let's go to that. I'll tell you why. There's something I want to bring out about that. Abraham being the man he was, they had a little discrepancy there, fighting over all the wealth that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham being a man of God, Abraham, he come to Lot, and he said, let there be no strife between your herdmen and mine. Verse number 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Father, we be brethren. You know, some of the fiercest problems. I remember hearing a group one time called Sound Doctrine, and they broke up over doctrine. Ain't that something? I'm telling you the truth. A tremendous group. Sometimes people get in more trouble.
Yeah.
Than a brethren. I expect trouble from my enemy, but I don't expect trouble from my family, my godly family, my Christian family. And here Abraham, he's took care of Lot all this time. And Lot's rich now thanks to Abraham. And look here at verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And Lot, he's also very rich. Says verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. They're both rich. Their substance is great. Verse 6, and here they are now. Their herdsmen are fighting. They're fighting over the best places, I guess you could say. Abraham being the just man, verse 9, he said, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right, I'll go to the left. And I talked about Abraham lifting up his eyes, which it's what I'm preaching about here about Abraham.
Yeah.
I want you to notice he wasn't the only one lifted up his eyes. Look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar, unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him how much? All the plain of Jordan.
Yes.
See, Lot's choice was a greedy choice.
Yes, it was.
He's what's causing the empty shelves in the grocery stores.
That's right.
He's the one that comes in, just cleans the shelves off. Lot's only caring about himself.
That's it.
He's not even thinking about his beloved uncle, Abraham, that said, in love, you choose first. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and his choice was one of greed. He don't even take a thought to Abraham.
Mm-mm.
I want you to know that didn't make Abraham's day. Abraham, like you and me, sitting there thinking, you could have left me just a little bit of water.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got cattle, see? Cattle have to have a lot of water. And not only did Lot make a greedy choice, but he made a bad choice. Look at verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 14, I talked about Abraham lifting up his eyes. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes.
Yeah.
Look toward the place. Look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. See, God offered everything to Abram. Abraham didn't lose a thing. Even though Lot went down there to the well-watered plains of Jordan, even though Lot took a greedy choice, he went to a place where there was a lot of sin. And God told Abraham, he said, lift up your eyes. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Lot had lifted up his eyes in a wrong way. And I tell you what, God gave Abraham the promised land.
Yes.
Because he lifted up his eyes.
Yes.
That was the promised land to him. He said, I'll give it to you and your seed forever. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, God told Moses to get up under the top of Mount Pisgah and lift up his eyes. And he said, you can look, but you can't go in.
Uh-huh.
And the reason he couldn't go in, because only grace lets us go into the promised land. And God told Moses to speak to the rock, not strike the rock. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. And Moses, I don't know why he did it. I know the people chatted with him. I know he was mad. But I want you to know God is no respecter of persons. And God told him to speak to the rock, not smite the rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's verse 4, it said that rock was Christ. And not only did he smite it, the Bible said he smote it twice.
Yeah.
God said, get up there and look, because you ain't going in. Well, I'm telling you right now, Moses made a poor choice. But I'll tell you what it was. I believe it's the providence of God, because only by the grace of God is anybody going to heaven, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know what? Moses represents a law, And Abraham represents grace.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm seed of Abraham, not seed of Moses. Amen.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what God told him. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you get a good look at it. He got up and lifted up his eyes. And in the next few verses, God killed Aaron. And not too many verses after that, well, I believe it's about the end of Deuteronomy. Moses died. God buried him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. I just want you to know Moses did go beyond the grave. But he didn't go the way he wanted to go because he didn't do what he was told to do.
Right.
And the law can't get no one into the promised land. You can't keep the commandments and go to the promised land. You got to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to be begotten by the Word. You got to be born again.
Yeah.
You got to have the blood applied.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you right now, buddy, you're going to be facing judgment. Amen.
That's it. Amen.
In Psalms chapter 121, verse 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord.
Yeah.
I'll get there in a minute. Psalms 121 verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I'll tell you, you better be careful where you look when you get in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
Jonah said, I'll look again. Jonah's problem was he took his eyes off of Jesus. The Bible tells us looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is. Looking unto Jesus. Peter done all right. Walking on the water. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started sinking. And I tell you what, buddy, you better be careful where you look for help.
Yes.
Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll tell you what, beloved, I'm glad, praise God, that we've got someone that we can look to for our help.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what? Jesus talked about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In John chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. But the world says, I'm not looking to him. I've got my own way. I've got my own means. I don't need God. Ain't that funny? That even though the world doesn't take note of the Lord, even though this is the year 2020, and they don't even want to acknowledge that it's 2020 years since the death of Christ.
Right.
It is something that all the doctors' office, they got a pole with a snake wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
On the pill bottle, it's got a pole with a serpent on it. It is something that the ambulance has got a pole with a serpent on it.
Yeah.
They don't even know enough Bible to know they're preaching Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo!
Amen.
They're lifting him up, Brother Ed, they don't even know it.
That's right.
You know, the Bible said the prince of this world had known they wouldn't have crucified the Lord, and they don't realize. But that medical emblem today, in Numbers 21, verse 8 through 9, the principle was look and live. I can imagine those people, the fear, I've been beaten, I've been bitten, I'm dying. And they were told to look and live.
Yeah.
Moses was told to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. And anybody that was bitten, what happened was they got to complain.
Yeah.
And not only did they get complaining, but they got to complaining to Moses and Aaron and then to God. And when they started complaining to God, God said, okay, you want to complain? Their shoes lasted 40 years.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a pair of them shoes.
Me too.
Amen. They were fed. They were fed by anything they wanted. They were led to the waters. They were cared for like sheep.
Yeah.
And they complained and bickered and murmured. But they complained and their complaint came up to God. He sent down snakes. type of sin. That snake bit them, and they only had one cure: look and live. Some will say, "I ain't looking."
Yeah.
I don't care. I just sin now. I'm not going to look. God said, "Okay, buddy, help yourself."
Yeah.
You know, I got a feeling them ones that did that said, "I wished I'd looked." But God says to the fearful, to the faint-hearted, to the faithless, to the feeble, "Look unto me and be ye saved." In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, He said, all the ends of the earth look. He's a God. He's God, and He alone is God. In the United States, I think we've had so far 10,000 cases, maybe more than that, maybe 16. Worldwide, there's 300,000 cases of this coronavirus that has been confirmed. 800 died in one day in Italy, of all places.
Yeah.
Up there where the Pope is and all of that. All that bunch of garb put on apostasy stuff. 60,000 cases, I believe, confirmed in the United States. That's what I was looking for. Earthquakes, floods, fires, famine, storms, sickness, shortages.
Yeah.
And God says to the feeble, to the faint-hearted, to the faithless, to the fearful, He says, no weapon formed against you can prosper if you're saved. Isaiah 54:17. We don't have any reason to fear.
No, that's right.
Nothing can keep us from going to heaven. I'm going one day, maybe today.
Yeah.
But when I do go, I know in whom I have believed. I know He's coming for me, whether in the air or coming personally. Say, it's time to go home. I just know when He comes, I'm letting go, buddy.
Yeah.
I ain't looking back. I'm letting go. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving out. I'll tell you right now, Lot's wife's a good example. I have a worldly mind. Looking back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a pillar of salt, and I ain't going to be. I'll just tell you right now, I ain't going to be. But God said, no weapon formed against me can prosper. Jesus told Martha in John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? The psalmist said in Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God told Abraham, Genesis 15:1, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. I was at the Houchins grocery store yesterday. They got a plexiglass thing put up there between the customers and the cashiers. A shield. God said, Abraham, I'm your shield. Brother Ed said, he's praying, saying, Lord, raise the hedge up a little bit for my family.
Yeah.
Ain't it good to have a God that you call upon and say, I need you to do something.
That's right.
I'm glad, praise God, out of His riches and glory, He supplies our every need. Amen.
Yeah.
And if the hedge needs to be higher, He can make it higher.
Yeah.
When God brought the judgments down upon Egypt, He said, I want you to know that the Lord makes a difference.
Yeah.
Goshen never had a single plague. Amen.
Yeah.
They's over sunbathing, I guess, taking getting a tan. I don't know what they's doing, but they's cared for. And Egypt's over suffering. They're in darkness, and Goshen's got light. They're in the frogs, and Goshen's over there sleeping.
Yeah.
I just want you to know the Lord makes a difference. Amen.
Yes, He does.
God said, Abraham, fear not, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Amen. And let me say this to those that are listening to this recording today. I want you to read this for comfort. I'm not going to read it. It'd take too much time. But I want you to read Psalms chapter number 91, verse 1 through 16. Yeah, that's the whole chapter. I want you to read Psalms chapter 18, verse 1 through 20. That's not the whole chapter. You can read both of them in 3 minutes. You can read them both all the way through. Read them for comfort, because God said in His book, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Yes.
We're not without hope.
That's right.
I was at one time, but not no more. I can be a peace donor. I've got a hope that makes not ashamed.
Amen.
I've got a hope both sure and steadfast anchor to my soul. I'm telling you, buddy, I feel sorry for that bunch that ain't got no hope. I feel sorry for that bunch that ain't got no help. I'm glad that we can say, I'll look to the hills from which cometh my help.
Yeah.
My help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for a hill called Calvary.
Yes, man. Lord, thank you.
I know, I just remembered what I wanted to write down a while ago. I told you I forgot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Mel Gibson come out with a movie called The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's a great movie. He's come out with another one. They interviewed the actor that played Jesus in that movie. They cut him off. I wish they hadn't. But they interviewed him right there on Fox News. And he said Mel Gibson's in the process right now of making a sequel to The Passion of Christ. And the name of it's called The Resurrection. And he said, it's the greatest movie of the day and hour in which we live. He said, as they're making movies about Marvel Comics, about Superman, Batman, and Thor and all of that, he said, this is the true hero. This is the true champion.
Yeah.
And they're making a movie about the resurrection. I can't wait to see it. I hope I live long enough to see it. I hope they hurry up and get it done.
Yeah.
He said, there's millions being spent. None is being spared. And I believe it's on the Lord for such a time as this. That Mel Gibson, I don't have a lot of regard for Mel Gibson, but I'll tell you what, you watch that movie that he made, The Passion of the Christ, and if you watch it dry-eyed, you call me and tell me, amen.
Yes, that's right. Yes, oh, Lord.
God has ministered to us in the midst of our troubles. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls.
Yeah.
He said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. God offers help. God said, I will not leave you comfortless.
Right.
It was in Matthew 11:28 that I quoted just then. But in John 14:18, God said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you.
Amen.
I'm glad, praise God. Not only he's a very present help in trouble, but he's our refuge and strength. Psalms 46:1. We've got everything we need. We just don't use it. I'll tell you right now, Jonah said, I will look again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying today. We need to go back. God told Jacob, go back to Bethel. That's where he started. That's where he found God.
Yeah.
God said, go back and start all over. Jonah said, I will look again. And that's what I tell you need today more than anything. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Look at what Jesus did right out in broad daylight. Them disciples wasn't afraid as long as Jesus was around. But they didn't understand. He was going to Calvary one day, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't understand their champion was going to give his life. They didn't take it, he gave it.
Yeah.
They didn't understand he was going to be buried for 3 days. They didn't understand he was going to raise again from the dead just like he said.
Yeah.
They didn't understand he was going to send back up into heaven. I'll tell you what, they might have gotten on the slow train, but they got it. Amen.
Amen.
Jonah said, I will look again. Father, we thank you for this message today.
Thank
you for the privilege to preach in an hour such as we're in right now.
Yeah.
When people are perplexed, when people, Lord, are worried and making bad decisions, Lord, I would to God they'd give their heart to you and turn their heart to you and trust in you and call upon you and find in you a sufficiency of all the things that they're needing right now during these terrible times. Bless, I pray, whoever hears this message, bless them. Help them, Lord. And I pray they be encouraged by hearing this message.
Yes.
And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. That was a good message, Brother Eddie.